Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for the fellowship hour. As we gather around the fellowship together, we pray for instruction from the Holy Spirit and inspiration from the Almighty. In the name of Jesus and the entrance of your word, we declare, brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Cause that light to shine, O Lord, in our hearts this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So, we've spent about 15 lessons in the book of James. And today, I want to dedicate this room to review of the entire book of James. And you can give your own thoughts, your own shares. I'm hoping we can get more people to contribute so that we can all be blessed. I mean, you've listened to this lesson for several days now. So let's do a quick review and then an in-depth review from everyone to share the things that, you know, stayed with you the most throughout the lesson. Today, I want to just touch again on, you know, effective or effectual fervent prayer, which we were talking about yesterday. Talk about that a little bit, and then we'll open it up for prayers. I mean, sorry, we'll open it up for shares and everybody to give their own thoughts on the subjects, matters that we have covered throughout the book of James. Praise the Lord. Effective prayer or effectual prayer. We talked about some of it yesterday. What does it mean for prayer to be effective? Well, for one thing, it requires persistence. That's one quality we brought out yesterday. Not giving up. We gave several examples for that. Again, it requires faith. You know, the scripture says, let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. Cover that in this same book of James. It requires also that our prayer be according to his will. And we are told that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. 1 John 5:14 and 15. And if he hears us, then we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. We know that it got to be based according to the word of God, be based on the word of God. Because Lamentation 3:37 tells us, who is he that saith, and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? So when we begin to declare things in prayer, for it to be effective, it's got to be according to the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. There is one other secret that I want to mention here briefly today. We didn't talk about this yesterday, but I want to talk about it today. In one of the most powerful scriptures where Jesus was talking about, you know, how to get your prayer working and what you can do with prayer, talking about moving mountains and all this stuff, in Mark chapter 11, this was a story where, you know, he had rebuked the cursed tree because it wasn't producing. And next day, disciples said, wow, that tree that you cursed is already withered away. And then Jesus began to tell them, well, you can pretty much do the same thing. You can speak to a tree, let it be plucked up by the root. Or you speak to a mountain, let it be removed. And when you do, he said, you must not doubt it in your heart, but you must believe those things that you said, that they are coming to pass. And you shall have whatsoever you say. So he talked about that. But there's a very important principle. Several principles that he brings out there. You know, speaking the thing by faith, not doubting it in your heart, but believing that those things that you said will come to pass, and that you eventually it'll come to pass. You wait for it, no matter how long it is. You say, it shall come to pass. You know, and then he said, look, at the moment of prayer, you should believe. All things whatsoever, he said, when, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. So let's read this next verse after he said all of that from Mark chapter 11, which we don't normally talk about, but he says it here in Mark 11, 25. After giving all these powerful secrets of how we move mountains and stuff, he said, and when you stand praying, now, and means it's in connection to all the things that I've said above. And in addition, that's what that means. In addition, this is a powerful secret to effective prayer. When ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So we see how Jesus is linking forgiveness to powerful prayers, talking about removing mountains, talking about doing all these things and so forth. And now he throws right behind that, forgive. If you don't forgive, he said, your Heavenly Father will not forgive, which means if our Heavenly Father doesn't forgive, we can infer from this that that might block our prayers, which means that our unforgiveness toward others may eventually cause a blockage of our own prayers. Now, this is one aspect we did not talk about yesterday, so I wanted to bring this in. It is so important. Many lessons that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 18. He taught the lesson of forgiveness. He gave a powerful story there and he talked about it. Someone that was forgiven a whole lot, yet he could not forgive a very tiny thing. And at the end, when he was reported to their master, even that which was forgiven him was rescinded because he himself did not forgive. And at the end of that story in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said this, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So, and what was it that he did? Well, he said, the Lord was wrath with him and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now, tormentors, well, that's like God, putting, out the word against him. Because in one place, the Bible says God resists the proud. But God also resists those who are unforgiving in their hearts. If you do not forgive, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. And now he may not listen to you. He'll hold out against you because you are holding out against someone. So this is very, very important. And why is it that people do not forgive? Because we are still in the flesh. That's why we don't forgive. What people do to us, hurt us in the flesh, and then we don't forgive. But we need to elevate into the spirit realm and forgive. Now, if the Lord were to count our iniquities and hold them against us like we hold out against others, who will be saved? many of us, we can boldly say that had it not been for the mercy of the Lord that forgives us even daily, where would we be? And so this is so key to effective prayer. Effective prayer must also be accompanied by a life of forgiveness. You forgive. whatever you have, whenever you have ought against any, the scripture says we should forgive. We talked about persistence yesterday in prayer, not giving up, just, you know, not giving the Lord any rest either, you know, and just, you know, you keep praying, you keep putting a bug in his ear, if you want to call it that, and you keep on with persistence in prayer. Jesus told many stories like that of people who are persistent in whatever they were asking until the point that the person they were asking had to just give it to them just to get rid of them, so to speak. So Jesus told us that as well. Effective prayer, you know, should also be wrapped with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, you know, Paul also talks about effective prayer. First, he said, your prayer to be effective should not be wrapped with anxiety. Get rid of anxiety. Come with to the Lord with confidence, knowing that God is able to hear you, you know, and then he will answer you as well. He said, without anxiety, but, you know, make your prayer and your supplications unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. So thanksgiving is an important part of effective prayer. And what happens to let you know that it is effective? Well, verse 7 of Philippians 4 says, and the peace of God passes understanding. It doesn't quite say, you know, that prayer will be answered or the prayer will not be answered, but you will have peace. And that's when you know that the prayer is effective. The peace also attends effective prayer. You will have peace after you pray that prayer effectively. There will be a peace and a calming effect that comes in there. You know that God has heard it. Praise the Lord. And you mingle it with thanksgiving. I mean, if we are to pray multiple times for something until we get it, and if we were to add our thanksgiving each of those times, it would definitely be much more effective. Praise the Lord. Now, we see an aspect of effective prayer that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 18. The story of the two men that went to pray. One of them was proud and arrogant and self-righteous in his own mind. And his prayer was not effective. His prayer went nowhere. So for prayer also to be effective, there must be humility in that prayer. The other person that could not raise up his head, that just beat upon his breast and said, Lord, have mercy upon me, you know, and forgive my sins and so on. It showed an element of humility, and his prayer was the one that was effective. Jesus said, this man went home justified rather than the other. So you can read that in Luke chapter 18. Covered that yesterday. So we see that humility also is an aspect of effective prayers. Jesus also in Matthew chapter 6, he talked about effectiveness in prayer. He said, look, when you pray, do not use vain repetition. That means a prayer that is full of vain repetition will not be effective as far as the Lord is concerned. You know, do not use vain repetition, and don't also do it, you know, to be seen of men. So these are also aspects of effective prayers. Pray your prayer towards the Lord, not to be seen of men. You know, he said, look, when you pray to be seen of men, you already have your reward. And that prayer is not effective. You know, he said they love to stand in the synagogues and the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. They love to make long prayers. Use big, great, swelling words. and so forth, you know, so that they might be heard or seen of men. Well, Jesus said those prayers are going nowhere. He said, but you, when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, which seeth in secret, will reward you openly. Does this mean we should never pray in the open? No, Jesus is bringing out a viewpoint. What he's saying is that it is what is in your mind, you know, how you want to be seen in that prayer that you're bringing before the Lord. That's what matters. If the underlying intent is so that people can see how well you can pray, that prayer will not be effective. You know, that's what Jesus is teaching. He also said, look, when you pray, use not vain repetitions. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. As the heathen do, they just repeat the same thing over and over. It's vain because it's not effective. You know, so, you know, they think they will be heard for their much speaking. Say, look, don't be like them. Your Father already knows what things you have need of, you know. And Jesus gave us simplicity in prayer. That's another aspect. Give us a simple pattern. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. And he gave us laid out a simple template. Very simple. No gigantic, thunderous words or anything like that. Just laid it out. You know, you come to the Father, you know, acknowledging him and honoring him. And then you immediately begin to pray about the things that are uppermost in God's heart. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Go on to pray for your daily needs and pray about forgiveness and so on and so forth. You know, God to keep us from evil and all that. In the end also, we praise him and glorify him. Simplicity in prayer. That's how he put it out there. You know, in another place, he talked about, you know, being in a roundabout way, we learn something also about, you know, being specific in prayer. You know, I call it roundabout way because, you know, it was something else that Jesus was saying, but yet we can learn from it. You know, Jesus was saying that, look, how many of you being fathers will have one of your children come to you and ask you for bread and then you give him a stone instead? Ask you for egg, will you give him a scorpion? Or if he'll ask you for fish, will you give him a serpent? And if ye then being evil know how to do these good things, your children, how much more? So that lesson tells us something about effective prayer as well. It means be specific in your prayer. Even though that's not exactly what Jesus was saying, but we learned that specificity in prayer is important. You know, when you come to the Father, if you need bread, ask for bread. If you need egg, ask for egg. And if you need fish, ask for fish. Don't come to the Father and ask for something, you know. If you ask the Father for something, you know, if the child comes to the Father and say, Father, give me something, and the Father gave him a stone, the Father would be in his right because the child asked for something. A stone might be something in that particular context. But if the child had asked for bread, no way would have. I mean, if the child had asked for bread, no way would the Father have given that child stone instead of bread. So again, we learn an aspect of effective prayer. Being specific. Now, in order to be specific in our prayer, we also need to find the word of God that relates to that prayer. You know, rather than just saying, you know, Lord, bless me. Well, Scripture says that he has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So what exactly do you need or want from the Lord? You know, so rather than, and Jesus said this, taught this prayer, you know, in Matthew 11, 23 and 24 and so on, when he was talking about it. Mark, he said, 11:23-24, he said that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe. So desire means you know what you want. That's also specificity. You got to be specific. You know what you want. Don't just ramble up because you don't even know what you want. If you don't know what you want and you pray, how are you going to know when God gave it to you? Because you didn't even know what you were asking. You know, so be specific. Do your homework too. You know, those of you who know about our faith specs, we've taught that in the past. You know, faith specs means it's an acronym, SPEC. It's taken out of Hebrews 11 and 13. S is to see the promise. P is to be persuaded of it. E is to embrace it. And C is to confess it. That's what they did in Hebrews 11 and 13. And those steps taken together make your prayer very effective. In fact, I have published a book that's called The Principles of the Oracles of God. And you can find that book on Amazon Kindle Fire or Kindle Amazon Publishing. It's the only place you can get it. Some people that came to celebrate with us in July, they got the book. But it's out there if you want it. That book lays out 7 principles of the oracles of God, how your prayer can be absolutely effective and approximate 100% every time. 4 of those principles are in the specs, which I've taught many times on this platform. And then I added 3 more that can help you complete the picture. This is how your prayer must be effective. Find a promise, first of all. Don't begin to pray about something if God hasn't promised it. You know, we've spoken about that many times from Lamentation 3 and 37. Once you have found a promise, well, you need to also check out if there is a premise around that promise. In other words, there may be some condition. The promise may be given in such a way as if such and such, then such and such. Well, in that case, make sure that you understand the if also. You know, otherwise, your prayer may not be effective. You know, we've also talked about, you know, a promise. Since we're talking about promise, and this is the reason why you must look for the promise that relates to the thing that you are believing God for. I've talked about promise, you know, in these terms. I've said before that a promise is not a promise to you unless you know what was promised. It's just that simple. If somebody made you a promise, you never heard it, you never knew what a promise, then it's not a promise because you didn't even know about it. You know, so first of all, you need to know what was promised. So that's also the element of finding that scripture. And there are tons of scriptures about anything that it is we want. Is it healing? There's lots of scriptures. Is it this and that? There's a lot of scriptures. And there are also some generic, you know, catch-all, if you want, scriptures. you know, just covers everything. And, you know, like, you know, if you can find one person, 2 or 3 of you, Matthew 18 and 19, shall agree, touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done. I mean, there are some scriptures like that, just covers everything. Matthew 18 and 19 is one of them, you know. John 15 and 7 is one of them. If a man abides in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it will be done. I mean, it's just promises like that. But you can see that there is still if around it. You know, first you'll be abiding in the Lord and making sure his word is abiding in you. The other one also about, you know, 2 of you agreeing on anything. There is also some implied ifs. 1, it means if you can find somebody that has some faith, you know, to agree with you, And if you can both agree on this subject, you know, and this goes without saying that, of course, it's got to be according to the word of God. So there's a lot of ifs in all these promises. You can do all these things. If my people that are called by my name, 2 Chronicles 7:14, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. We need revival. We need God to do something in our land. Well, we got to do all those things too. Those are the recipes, you know, that God, you know, prescribed for that revival in that case. So there's always, you know, conditions around these promises. But find the promise and then be persuaded that God is able to keep that promise. You see, there is no point in, you know, us believing or believing God for a promise when we are not persuaded that he can keep that promise. You know, throughout the Bible, people were persuaded that God was able to keep that which was promised. You know, that's what it says about Abraham. He said he was, you know, he staggered not at the promise of God, but he knew that God was able to keep, you know, what he had promised, was fully persuaded. You can read that in Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. He was fully persuaded that God was able to keep what he had promised, and he was also able to perform it. So, that being persuaded, we must, is a must to, as a condition for effective prayers. When you find a promise, you must be persuaded that God is able to keep that promise. What about the embrace? What does it mean to embrace the promise? Well, it means embracing for the particular situation at hand. You know, sometimes we believe a promise in a generic sense. Well, God is able to heal the sick. God is able to raise the dead. I mean, just about every believer believes those things. But when we are faced with that situation in our own life, do we believe? Can we embrace it for that particular situation that is at hand? God forbid that a loved one, a family member should die. Can we believe that God is able to raise them? Or can God only raise the people in the Bible, you know, and other people's testimonies? What about mine in this case right now and right here? You know, so that's the difference between being persuaded that God is able to do it and embracing it for the particular situation. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. That's being persuaded. You know, that God is able. You know, being persuaded means that you know God is able to do it. You know, but then embracing it means, and he will deliver us. In this particularization, he will deliver us. So now you embrace it. Jesus said to Martha at the grave of Lazarus, your brother will rise again. And she was persuaded that God was able to raise the dead, but she did not embrace it for the moment. She said, well, I know he will rise in the resurrection. And Jesus told her something else too, but you know, the whole time she was thinking of something else. In fact, Jesus had to ask her, believest thou this? Now, which means in this particular case right now, do you believe it? Can you embrace it? She said, well, you know, I know that you are the Christ that is supposed to come. Even when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? That anyone that lives in me right now shall never perish. And even though that perish would be raised again. Do you believe this? And then she went on a rant. Yeah, I believe that you are the Christ that's supposed to come and so on and so forth. She could not embrace the fact that right now, in this moment, Jesus was talking about your brother coming out of that grave that we are looking at. Not, you know, some thousands of years from now, he will come out of the grave. Right now, in this moment, he's coming out of there. Can you receive that? No, she could not understand it. However, the mercy of God, because Jesus wanted to show his disciples that he can raise the dead too, that I've been in the grave for days. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Nevertheless, let us go on there to him and so on. So that's the embrace part. Now, what about the confess part? So for prayer to be effective, it's got to have all these steps. You know, to be effective means all these things. Confessing what you have believed, whether you see it or not. I mean, we've seen so many stories. Abraham, he was a man called Abraham at first, changed his name to Abraham to prove that he was going to be the man, a father of nations, even when he didn't have a child. For 25 years, he would tell his people, don't call me Abraham anymore. Call me Abraham, for I will be father of nations. Well, now that's some declaration when you don't even have a child. You call yourself father of nations. Well, that's how you confess it. The Bible says in Revelation 12 and 11, you know, that they overcame that devil by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And I've taught in this room also that, look, the word of the testimony doesn't mean the way that we usually do it. You wait until everything is done. You think, you know, the miracle is in the bag. Then you come out and you testify. Well, I mean, that works too. I mean, that's giving God the glory, and that's great. But in that case, it's not a weapon. You know, for it to be a weapon, you use it while you are in the battle, even before the victory. That's when it becomes a weapon. If you wait until only after the victory is done and you give it the testimony, that's good. That's praise and thanksgiving, which we must do as well. But it wasn't a weapon. It's a weapon when you say it before you even get it. I will be the father of nations. I will be a joyful mother of children. You know, no matter what it looks like at the moment, you say it. You know, I've got the job and I'm preparing for it. You don't have a job, yet you are preparing for it. Praise the Lord. You know, have a husband, yet you are preparing for marriage. Yeah, you know, you're going out there, you're checking out your wedding dress and so on and so forth. There's no husband anywhere, but you are doing it. You are declaring it because you've embraced it and you are confessing it by your actions. And these are the steps that make prayer effective. You know, and Jesus gave, you know, those are my four specs principles, but Jesus gave some other principles in those Mark 11, you know, situations that we talked about. Some of them are also revealed in that story. You know, declare the word without doubting. That is so important. And, you know, it's not because you are seeing it at the moment, but you do not doubt through the process. Because the thing may not happen right away. Jesus said, and ye shall have it, which may be future. You might be declaring something today and you may not have it for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 months or even years. But today and every day after that, you're declaring it just the same without doubting it in your heart. Because, you know, God knows whether you doubt in your heart or not, you know. And the Lord says he is the dissolver of doubts. He can help you to dissolve those doubts. Hallelujah. So many principles there. And also, you know, the principle of, you know, praising the Lord and things like that. The psalmist said in Psalm 65, verse 1, praise with there for thee, O God, in Zion. You know, Jehoshaphat, he put his praise out there in front of the battle. Before he even won the battle, he began to praise the Lord based on the promise that God would give them the victory. You know, the day he heard about the promise that God was going to give them victory tomorrow, today he worshipped and commanded everybody else to worship along with him. And he commanded all the people that knew how to praise the beauty of holiness to get together in the bands and so forth like that. Put them in front of the soldiers. Well, that's some praise. And that's some confidence in praising the Lord even before you've seen. You are going to battle. You haven't won the battle yet. Yet you are praising the Lord for having won the battle. That's how you do it. Praise the Lord. That is using your testimony to overcome the conflict at hand. Praise the Lord. Now, so all these things are part of the things that make your prayer effective. And there is a, like I mentioned, there's a good handbook taken from a sermon that I taught on this series that could be helpful to you. If you want to know how to get it, reach out to me. It'll help you. Principles of the oracles of God. What's an oracle? Well, you might think of oracle as, someone or something that can predict something that is going to happen or say it as it is. Well, God doesn't need to make predictions. God tells it the way it is. People make predictions, because we're imperfect in our ways. God doesn't make any predictions. God already sees the future. He already knows everything, and he has perfect memory of everything. So he can say it just the way it is. There's no need for him to predict anything. Praise the Lord. So here's the illustration I give about that. Is I say, look, if you have perfect memory, like a photographic memory that never forgets anything, and you've seen your favorite movie so many times, and you don't forget anything anyway, which means even all you had to do was see it one time and you remember it, you never forget it. But you know play by play, scene by scene, what's going to happen. And when your friend comes to watch the movie with you, he's never seen it before. You've seen that movie multiple times and you remember everything perfectly. When someone says something in a scene in that movie, you can say what's going to be said next and what's going to happen next, because you've seen that movie. And you know exactly what it is. That's like God. He's seen that movie play before him, but God doesn't need to see it 2, 3, 4 times to remember it, because he has perfect memory. He never forgets anything. He's omniscient. He remembers it all. He knows it all. He can tell you exactly how it is going to happen. That's why when all these prophecies are given in the word of God, they happen exactly, because God already saw it. And he said the way it is. And not only did he already see it and say it the way it is, he has the capability and the capacity to make it come to pass. Praise the Lord. Even if there was anything that tried to raise up his head against that thing, God has the capacity to squash that thing. Hallelujah. It's called providence. You must also believe in providence for your prayer to be effective. Providence is what watches over your destiny. The thing that is going to be, God's providence will be in place to make sure it comes to be. He might raise up destiny helpers. He might do this and this and that, whatever. He might tell his angels, go down there and see to it. That's his providence. Whatever he needs to do to make it happen, he has the capacity to do that. So once God says something, you can be 100%, even 1,000%, if you want to call it that, assured that he knows what he's saying and it will come to pass. The word that I have spoken, said the Lord, shall come to pass, shall no longer be prolonged, according to the words of Ezekiel. Chapter 12, verses 25 and 28. So these are the elements that make our prayer effective. You must believe all these things, when we come to God in prayer, his Bible says, he that cometh to God in prayer must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So these are, some of the things that we must use to get our prayers to become effective. Praise the Lord. Talking about faith and effectiveness in faith, read the testimonies of all the people that are in the chapter of 11 of the book of Hebrews. And verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that God is. That's, you know, right there. You're persuaded. And you must know that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You're going to get what you are asking God for. You know, embrace it for that situation as well. So many aspects of effective prayer, which we didn't get a chance to cover yesterday. So this is my own portion of the review, but also bringing out some other things on that particular topic. And of course, you know that, you know, God is not bound by anything but his word. We've taught this in this room multiple times. God's word is his bond, and his name is about his reputation. You know, so, you know, when you speak his word back to him, it's bound by that. Most people have learned how to use the word of God in prayer by saying, Lord, you said. That's right. You know, that's a good way to pray. Repeat his word back to him. Praise the Lord. We've also talked in this room about the importance of understanding that, because it is the word of God that moves the angels into action. So those are effective prayers. You want the angels to go into action on your behalf? Well, declare the word of God. According to Psalm 103 verse 20, praise ye the Lord, ye angels and all his hosts, and ye angels that excel in strength. You know, that hearken, you know, they do his commandments, and hearkening to the voice of his word. You know, to them, the voice of God's word is God's commandment. You know, that's it. You know, the word of God is their commandment. And when you speak that word, that means you give voice to it. Say, hearkening to the voice of his word. When you give voice to his word, angels go into operation. It's a standing order. It's an ordinance in heaven. So it's forever settled. You know, when those angels hear the word of God coming out of your mouth, they have a standing order to go and see to it. Hallelujah. You know, so they are called ministering spirits sent forth to minister on behalf of the heirs of salvation. So all of these things taken together are what makes our prayer to be effective. And let's not forget the resilience and persistence and no giving up in prayer. Ye that make mention of the Lord, give him no rest. You know, don't even quit on the Lord now until he establishes the thing that you are believing God for. So that's a summary of effective prayer. And the fervency part of it, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. The fervency part of it could be, you know, considered for, the persistence, being passionate and sticking to it and so forth. You pray. And Jesus also, you know, demonstrated fervency in prayer, you know, when he prayed earnestly and fervently until he was sweating blood. You know, sometimes, groanings that cannot even be uttered. We're told the Holy Ghost can make prayers like that, intercessions, even through us. You know, when you sink your teeth into some situation and you pray fervently through the Holy Spirit, you know, and not yielding and not minding whether it looks like it or doesn't look like it, stay right there with God in prayer. Praise the Lord. And we know that the Holy Spirit will strengthen you too. Angels came and strengthened Christ when he was sweating blood through agony in prayer. You know, and the Lord will strengthen you too. He strengthened Elijah. He said, look, the journey ahead of you is too great. So get up and eat again. You know, so these are the things that make our prayer effective. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my own contribution to the review of the book of James. I wanted to just cover some more of those aspects of fervent, effective prayer. Don't forget the forgiveness part. So key. You know, it might block unforgiveness, will block your prayers, just like unbelief will block your prayers. If we don't believe, it'll block your prayers. If we don't forgive, it'll block your prayers. So now that we know all these things, see, seeing that you know these things, what manner of men we ought always to be in all holy reverence before the Lord and in keeping this word, that we be not forgetful errors only, but dutiful doers of the word. We see and hear the word and we do as the word instructs. Praise the Lord. Now, how did Jesus liken that? He said, well, here's the story I will tell you. Two men started out to build their house. One on solid rock. He digged a good foundation and poured concrete in it. And the other one didn't dig any good foundation. He just started to build his house on the sand. Well, I'm going to tell you that the one that built his house on the solid foundation is like someone that hears these sayings of mine and does them. You know, he does these things that he has heard. The one that does not do the things that he hears of me, I will liken to the man that builds his house on sand. Both of these houses will be blasted upon by the torrential rain, tempest, and this and that. You know, one of them will stand, the other will crumble. The one that will stand is the one that is hearing and doing the word of God. The other that will crumble is the one that heard it, but did not do it. So Jesus, three chapters of giving instructions, sometimes we call Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. And then at the end, he wrapped it up with this lesson about building your house on the solid rock versus building it on the sand. You know, so that's why hearing the word of God and doing it is so, so important. After all those things that Jesus said, liking them to the floods that will come upon the one that did not build on the sand, did not build on the solid rock, and now his house will fall. And that's because he did not do what he was hearing. But the one that was doing what he was hearing, the man that hears his my words and keepeth these sayings of them, you know, that's what he said. So if you want to read that, you can read it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. In fact, let me just read it to us as I close. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. So you've been hearing all these teachings. If you do them, Jesus says, well, not just hearing, but doing them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, which when the rain descended and the floods came up against the house and the winds blew and beat up against that house, it fell not because it was founded upon a rock. But on the other hand, he also said, and everyone that heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them not. So you've heard all these teachings. Are you going to do them or are you not going to do them? You know, well, the one that hears these sayings and these teachings and does them not, I shall liken unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the same conditions again that came up upon the first house came upon this one as well. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, just like it did upon the other one. And in this case, this house fell because it was built on sand. And great was the fall of it. So in order for our lives to hold up against the tempests and winds and torrential rain and different things that can come against us in life, we must be not only hearers, but also doers of his word. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these lessons once again. And I pray, Lord, that as you continue sharing today, that others who will speak will be inspired by the Holy Spirit to share their thoughts and their testimonies as well, that all may learn. For you may all say, all speak one by one, that others may learn. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.